I've got an article in here from about the NSA leaker. Is that how you pronounce the name? But before we do that, got a joke for you, ladies and gentlemen. Come up with this over the break. What do frogs on Wall Street trade? Derivatives. Anyway, in New Zealand politics, this is what John Key says. Snowden not welcome in New Zealand. I used to go to school with some people named Snowden. They were dicks. Prime Minister John Key says American whistleblower Edward Snowden is not welcome here. His comments follow media reports in which Australian barrister, not to be confused with the baristas who make good coffee, Jeffrey Robertson said Snowden would likely have a more quote-unquote pleasant refuge in New Zealand than North Korea or Russia. I believe that's a typo, and they meant a peasant refuge. Snowden was believed to be in Hong Kong after leaking information about the United States intelligence agencies monitoring off-internet traffic. Key said today the former security contractor did not meet the requirements for asylum, and it was ridiculous to suggest he would. He wouldn't be welcome, he said. Yeah, I mean, because if there's one thing a corrupt New Zealand government doesn't want, it's people who speak out against corruption. Key couldn't rule out Snowden coming to New Zealand under another immigration category because he was not facing criminal charges. But the Prime Minister expected the government would oppose any asylum application. I can't see why we'd want him to turn up, he said. Well, you certainly wouldn't want him to turn up, Key. You've got frickin' shares in the World Bank and all goodness knows what else. Bank of America, sorry. He's welcome to apply to come here, but not as an asylum seeker. That was the premise of the article. New Zealand was a good, fair country, which up. I love it how he uses the past tense. Listen to this. New Zealand was a good, fair country which upheld its responsibilities under international law. That was the case with the extradition of internet millionaire Kim.com, he said. Kim.com, who incidentally was surveilled illegally by the New Zealand government. What's the Prime Minister knew about? We don't have a view on his .com's particular case, as we've said so often before. Of course, you don't have any views on it, because if you reveal what your views really were, you'd wind up going to frickin' prison, because you're a scumbag. It's really a matter between the United States and Mr. .com, he said. They're invoking the extradition treaty, and we're playing our part as a treaty partner. Have you noticed how every single time that you want to destroy another country, well, one country wants to destroy another country's sovereignty, they have a treaty with them, you know? It's like on Star Wars Episode 1. Oh, we need to sign a treaty, Your Highness, so we can kill and enslave your people. He was a whistleblower inside the organization. He made a moral decision. I think most people on planet Earth would agree the morality of his decision, Russell Norman said. He's the leader of the Green Party here. Key has also been asked about the presence of US spy software company Palantir, which has established a base in Wellington, the capital of New Zealand. He said he knew who they were, but didn't speak for the company.
Let me tell you who they are. They are Peter Thiel owns them. And Peter Thiel sits on the steering committee of the Bilderberg Group, and he helps decide who gets to show up to the meetings. That's who Palantir... Oh, and Palantir Technologies is the favorite technology corporation that the U.S. government likes to use. So there you go. That's who Palantir Technologies is.
Right. Now, Ralph, you're typing a little bit there. You're going to make sure to mute your mic when you're doing that. I always find it really funny as well how transparent articles are for me. Like I'll read through this article and I don't even know who Snowden was until like about a couple of minutes ago, and already I could see the plan and of the scumbaggery, because they don't change their tactics very often, do they? Have you noticed this? If you've seen one conspiracy, you've basically seen them all. It's like, Okay, here's the cocktail. Have you got a person who's doing things for moral reasons? Yeah. Is he being demonized? Yeah. Is he being sabotaged? Yeah. Is he a whistleblower of some description? Yeah. Does he threaten the credibility of a hell of a lot of incredibly dangerous people who own copious quantities of assets and corporations that surveil over people and destroy their fracking lives consistently? Yes. Okay. All your ducks are in a row. It seems pretty straightforward, don't you think, that these are the people that the entire world should know about, that the entire world should suddenly go to protect. Oh, my God, this person's being a really good person. He's taking on evil. Let's run out there, put ourselves in the line. I mean, I've been at courtrooms before where I'll be filming and the police try to arrest me. Actually, people have stepped in front of me to block the police from putting handcuffs on me. All right, that's what people need to be doing, I think, with whistleblowers, you know. Actually, really, just cruise around to their house, protect them, and just, you know, do you need some food, bro? Do you need your washing done? Do you need your dishes done? Do you need some coverage on the internet? Do you know, what can I do for you? What can I do? How can I help? And I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just so freaking tired of it all. You know, as Alex Jones would say, I'm tired of it! I'm tired of it! Oh, gee.
I think I know where you're going with it.
I'm sick of the derivatives of the scumbaggery. You know, it just makes me go on a tangent rant.
I think I know where you're going, Vinny. I mean, like with any movement, you need an army. You don't need martyrs or heroes. So it's all about community, helping each other, knowing our circumstance, knowing that we're in the same boat, knowing that we're all cattle. So think of the lessons that nature, teaches us. We're going up against a big animal. Just all unite.
Yeah, ancient tribes used to take down mammoths by working together, didn't they? And boy, do we have one gargantuan mammoth of a conspiracy going on here. And I don't know, we need some gaffy sticks and bantha tracks, you know, the sand people and all of that kind of stuff. It's all swirling around. It's coming to a head. You know, the stormtroopers are on their way to your house, bro. Okay, that's what's really kind of freaking me out nowadays. Is I'm just wondering, you know, how close are we to the edge? Because I know they're planning to collapse the economy. I know they're planning to exterminate all of us. I know they're planning to destroy the sovereignty of our countries and form us into a one world government. And what I find really interesting is that people, instead of doing something about it when they know the projected agenda, they sit back and listen to radio shows like this and call in and ask questions like, oh, but when do you think this is going to happen? It's already fracking happening, step by fracking step. And every single time that you sit back and do nothing and ask when something's going to happen, you are wasting possible resistance moments.
Absolutely. And I get a lot of flack on the internet about, well, we already know that they're surveilling us. This is not news. Yes, it is, because somebody stepped out and said something. More people need to step out and say something. There are people who know things. There are people who have documents. They need to feel comfortable enough to come out and say something, because the more people that can say something, that work in these industries, that can blow whistles on what's going on, then we can shut this down. They work in the shadows, so let's shine a light on them. I mean, it's really that simple.
Shut it down. Shut it down.
Yeah. A lot of people are scared about, you know, destroying their character. I catch the tube here in London, and I sometimes, because I'm a very snoopy person, I sometimes overhear people talking exactly about this, but they whisper it to each other, that sort of thing, because they're afraid of what people are going to perceive them. But I think everyone's thinking the same thing, but it's just that whole idea of destroying your character, because no one wants to be on the losing team.
Can I ask you, Ralph? What makes you think that your character's not destroyed already if you won't speak up about what you know to be right?
And people, exactly. I mean, people latch themselves into the wrong role models as well. Like, stop looking at politicians. I overheard a banker today talking to another banker saying, you know, the most important thing is perception. The most important thing is putting politicians out there they have personality. People buy into personality. It's all a facade. So you're looking at the wrong role models, and they're not in it for you either. Mm. So
it's trees by their fruit. You know, you have a look at what people are saying and then have a look at what people are doing, and then you'll soon notice who's real from who's full of crap. And what I've found is very, very sad is that there's so many people in this movement that are totally full of crap, right? And I feel guilty saying that, and I think that people will get angry for me saying that, but I have to say it because it's the truth. There's lots of people out there in this movement who are just straight up lying to all of you about dang near everything that they're covering, whether or not they're doing it deliberately or they're just foolish or they're full of their own egos or something like that. And some people keep, even after they realize that this person's a complete deceiver, keep listening to them. What is that?
There are two types of people. There are farmers and there are sheep. So there are people out there that look to their peers and they look to see what's cool. So, you know, conspiracy is not cool. Conspiracy is not real. So they're sheep. And, you know, you'll never change that. There will always be those sort of people. But we need to concentrate on creating more farmers. And because if you have enough of them, everything else will follow. So people have to look within themselves and decide who they are. Are they a sheep or a farmer?
Are you a sheep or a wolf?
Wolf. That's the one.
Wolf. And it'd take a wolf to catch a wolf, you know what I'm saying?
You've also got decades and decades of programming where we're taught to be consumers. We're taught to believe that what we have defines who we are, and it's generational. And so that's what creates the sheep. Generation after generation being programmed to think that you're nothing without a house with two garages in it and cars you can't afford and clothing you can't afford, and you're always going out and buying something. That's the society we live in, not just in the United States, but all over the world. And that's the ideology that we're fighting up against. It's the people who decide that they're not going to let what they don't have or what they do have define who they are. Those people need to stand up and remind the other people that they exist, whether or not they have these little sheets of paper that only have value because some idiot, some technocratic idiot or psychopath decided that it has this sort of value to it. Nothing means anything unless somebody else says it does. So that means that nothing means anything unless you say it does. And if you say it doesn't have any value, then it doesn't have any value.
Yeah. What really I find really ironic is the people who are afraid of getting killed or demonized by coming out and speaking about the truth. Dude, they're going to kill you anyway. What the hell are you? What have you got to lose?
Absolutely. I've been demonized a lot in the last year that I've been out. I've even had professors take the letters in my name and reword them to create different words and somehow say that my name has been made up and that I'm not a real person and that this is proof. Professors who are teaching students in colleges are doing this on the side and then posting this on their websites. So there's a lot involved here.
Oh, they're totally contributing to positiveness and humanity, aren't they?
Absolutely. But that doesn't stop me from doing what I'm doing. I'm still writing articles and publishing every day and going on the radio. That's not going to stop me. I have two children at home. I have a responsibility.
They're not going to outright kill you either. You know, that's just going to create too much of a scene. They're just going to do it really low-key. They're just going to starve you. So they're going to cut your lifeline and starve you. But, you know, people need to wake up and realize this. And here's the thing, though, and I agree with you guys. It's ingrained right from the word go to act like a sheep, because that's what they want you to be. They want you to be cattle. They promote the sort of we've all had those sort of managers at work, right, where they're just outright psychopaths. They do that on purpose. They promote those sort of people to those high levels. And anyone that sort of thinks outside the square or thinks logically, they demonize them. So, you know, it's a real hard game that we're playing, but as long as you're aware that the game is going on, that's when you start changing the path of it all. But I do agree with you. It's ingrained right from the word go to act like sheep. And so this is why you can't blame people. This is the mentality that they've all grown up with.
I wonder how difficult it would be to convince a classroom that they shouldn't obey their teacher because their teacher's probably wrong, and how difficult it would be for that teacher to maintain control of the classroom after they've learned that.
That's why they come up with ADHD and all these other problems that kids have when the children. This was decided very, very early on when Ford and Carnegie got Edward Bernays into the school system to decide to teach them how to propagandize to the students, and actually taught teachers in colleges these methodologies to control the students. And what they do is they separate the students that are willing to comply automatically from the students who won't. And it's come to the point where the students who won't comply now have a mental disorder, and they are not allowed to be in class, or they're not allowed to be in the school at all unless they're on some sort of mood stabilizer or psychotropic drug. That's
which,
how
incidentally,
they're dealing with it.
Which incidentally makes the kids go crazy and shoot up the school. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.